fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Thank you and greetings, friends. Will you turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. We shall be reading today verses 23 to 34. That's Proverbs, chapter 24, verses 23 to 34. As you know, this is the third major division of the book. As a matter of fact, these verses bring to a conclusion this major division. They constitute a postscript to the words of the wise, and there are five subjects addressed in these verses. After the title, these things also belong to the wise, we have the first of the five subjects addressed, which is the subject of administrative justice, beginning in verse 23b and running through verse 26. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Administrative justice. Justice is to be meted out without respect of persons. You see, David set forth this blessed truth when he said that they that rule over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And when they pronounce judgment at the court of justice, then it's to be without respect of persons. The judge is not to say that the wicked one, that is, the guilty one, is innocent. Neither is he to say that the innocent one is guilty. He rightly brings upon him the abhorrence and the distrust of all the people. But if he gives just justice, that is, he does so without respect of persons, then good comes and blessing comes. And then in verse 26 we read that every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. In other words, if he judges properly, then he'll have the affection of his subjects. Now, James chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us that we're to have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ without respect of persons. He goes on to say in verse 9 that if we respect persons, we commit sin, and the reason is, Romans 2:11, God is not a respecter of persons. So God, the great judge of all, does so without respect of persons. He requires this of men in the courts of justice to give judgment without respect of persons, and he requires us who are his children to be related one to another without respect of persons. This is good for the land in which we live, and for our own testimony for the Lord. In verse 27, the writer addresses the subject of sound economy. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. Now, this may be applied both materially and matrimonially. In other words, before a man takes up the project of building a house, the first thing he needs to do is to prepare his work without. That is, he's to seek out a proper place. He is to make preparations in that place, and then he is to fit that place for himself and be so situated that he will have laid up for himself that which is necessary to build a house upon it. You see, we need to count the cost before we build a house, and we need not to go hastily into this business. And a person who does not count the cost and leaves his house unfinished, then he is looked upon with shame. But you know, this can also apply to matrimony. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field. Afterwards, build thine house. After you have become established in business, and you are economically able to take care of a wife, then enter into the bonds of matrimony and take unto thyself a wife and build thee an house. So here is a proverb that has to do with sound economy. In verse 28, this writer addresses the matter of false witnessing. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without a cause, and deceive not with thy lips. In other words, do not take the witness stand against your neighbor unless there is a reason for that neighbor to be brought under judgment. If there's no basis for his judgment, then do not bear witness against him without a cause. You'll simply be deceiving with your lips, and you will give false testimony. So we are to be sure that once we, for example, have to take the witness stand, or once we engage in discussing the merits and the character of our neighbors, then we are to be sure that if we bear witness against them, there is a justification for it. Is it absolutely true? Is there ground for judgment against him? Otherwise, we will be deceptive. And certainly we should put a guard upon our lips when it comes to our witnessing with regards to our neighbor. In verse 29, the writer addresses the subject of vengeance. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render it to every man according to his work. Now, this may be related to verse 28. My neighbor has witnessed against me without a cause, so I will get vengeance upon him. Or it may just be a general statement with regards to the matter of revenge. And the writer says we're to take the position that we're not to say, I'm going to do to him as he has done to me. I'm going to render to him according to the way he has treated me. No. No, you see, beloved, we're not to revenge ourselves. We're to give, rather, place to wrath. For the Word of God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We can leave the taking of vengeance upon another with our God, and we can obey the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, as ye would that men do to you, do ye also to them likewise, for this is the law and the prophets. And so our attitude is not to be, I'm going to treat him as he's treated me. I will, on the other hand, render good for evil. And then in verses 30 to 34, the writer addresses the subject of slothful negligence. I went by the field of the slothful, or the lazy, or the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, or with thistles, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it well, and I looked upon it, and received instruction. Here the writer speaks of a picture of desolation. He had gone by the field of the lazy person, the slothful person, the sluggard, the one whose vineyard and whose field lay idle, and had been infested with thistles and nettles, which corrupted the soil. Not only that, but the wall that had been built around this field for protection, keep the wild animals and the thieves out of it, had been broken down, and whatever there was accessible then to the beasts of the field and to those who would come and rob. And the writer says, I pondered this, I looked at it, I meditated upon it, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. And that lesson is this, verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And this is a citation of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. And what was the lesson he learned? Well, the lazy man's field would become desolate. The result would be that poverty would overtake him, and want would overtake him, just as an armed man would approach to take his life. And so the judgment of the slothful man who was guilty of negligence with regards his field is that he himself would be poverty-stricken. And what a lesson we learn. And so I trust that God will have spoken to us today from these passages of Scripture in which administrative justice and a sound economy and false witnessing and taking vengeance and slothful negligence have been addressed by the writer of Proverbs.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.